The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
So you can relax, all right? I knew we were going to spend a lot of time this morning doing a lot of different things, and that's okay. But I want to get us started on probably one of, if not the most important subject that I can ever speak to you about, and that's our family. And I've chosen the next 4 or 5 weeks to discuss this very delicate and very important topic for us as a body of believers. And I've entitled the sermon, Extreme Home Makeover. And you can see I've scratched out the home edition and made it the family edition. All right? And let's look at the scripture that I'll be using for our text. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And I know it's not by accident that we follow the long line of those who have preceded us by referring to you as Father. You are the image of fatherhood for us. You're the ultimate parent, the ultimate teacher, the ultimate instructor, the ultimate one that we can turn to for information, for protection, for all the things that we need, provisioning. You are everything that we need as the family of God. And I pray that as we take on this giant subject, that your Holy Spirit, Father, will speak to every one of us, man, woman, boy, and girl, that hears this message, and that your divine will and your divine plan will become absolutely evident as we study this morning. Father, we submit our time to you. We submit our wills to you. We submit our future and our family, our finances, our entire lives. We submit to you today. In the name of Jesus the Lord, we pray. And everyone said, amen. There's a prologue before I go any further. Some of you have heard this, but I want to say it again because I've discovered through instructions and wisdom is that you can never over-communicate. As many times as you say something, it's somebody will miss it. Through my own foolishness, and my own inability to comprehend or to know the way of God, I ended up in a divorce. And I have two sons who I love dearly who are products of my hard-headedness. God is gracious to me and giving me a wonderful wife, Pat, and we have a beautiful daughter who I love dearly. But I'm telling you, what I'm saying to you in the weeks ahead about issues, I know firsthand, all right? And I've made it my life mission to try to help other people to not do the same things that I've done. All right, that's my mission. And Pat and I have had the privilege over the since 1970s when we came to the kingdom to minister to people, to families. And we've talked to, I couldn't even begin to tell you how many families that we've talked to individually and seminars that I've given in this area about family. So I'm not a novice, nor a neophyte, nor innocent. I know everything. I've heard things that I used to think I could never be shocked. Until it just finally blew my mind so much, I discovered that there are things I haven't even dreamed of that people go through. I've had people who didn't know God, is from the proverbial fence post, come to Pat and I for marriage counseling. who didn't surprise me, but they had to say. And I've had elders in church and their wives come to me and tell me how hard life was in their homes. So I've gone all the gamut. So I know what goes on for the most part behind closed doors. But here's what I want you to know. And this is an amazing statistic for me. That when Pat and I have counseled anyone who were believers and who were willing to follow God's word, we have a 100% success ratio in salvaging marriages and families. 100%. We have not failed one time when those criteria were met. Two believers willing to follow God's word. That's an amazing statistic. It's not based on my ability or my wisdom or Pat's ability or wisdom, but it's based on the foundation of the word of God, which will build a house according to God's plan. And it never, ever, ever fails. And I've seen it firsthand. To the contrary, when I have believers and unbelievers married together, when I have people who refuse to follow the word of God, my success ratio is so small, I don't even know what the numbers are. But I would say probably 10 to 20% at the most. Tells you something, doesn't it? What works and doesn't work. So what I'm going to present to you in the next weeks ahead is things that work. Now, I realize that we don't live in utopia. We don't live in a perfect world. And many of you are broken. You've broken the rules. You've not followed God and your family, and you are suffering the consequences for today. But it's not unsalvageable. Things can be made right, all right? So I want you to take these things that we say as messages of hope. I want to bring you hope and encouragement for wherever you are in your relationship. I'm going to say this for the young people who are here, and I'm going to say it over and over and over and over and over and over, ad infinitum, forever and ever. Never, listen to me, young people, never date anyone who is not a born-again believer. Never do it. Amen. Don't break that rule. For you will prepare yourself for a life of tragedy and misery if you do. That's the truth. And some of you can attest that I'm telling the truth. Don't ever think, young folks, that you can change somebody, because it ain't going to happen. The probabilities are so small that if I told you the same probabilities that if you got on a plane, you could fly from here to the West Coast and be safe, you'd never get on that plane. It's not that it doesn't happen, but the probabilities of it happening are so small, it's not even worth measuring. And parents, it's incumbent upon you to make that happen. You lay down the rules and you lay down the standards and you see to it that it happens. That's just a prologue. I'm not in a bad mood. This is good news, but sometimes you need to hear it the way it is without any rose-colored glasses, okay? The jokes are fun, but the jokes are over from now on. God had a plan, and that plan was to have a family made in His image. That's what He wanted to do. That's what He did. It says He created Adam and Eve in His own image. He created them, both male and female. That was the plan. God wanted a family. He wanted that. He was a family man from the very beginning. That's what He wanted to do. Man, in His wisdom, did an extreme makeover of God's plan. Would you say amen? We have done it. We have made an extreme makeover. God's plan was to have a family that looked like Him. Man reshaped it into a family that looks like Satan's family. I couldn't find any softer words for you folks, but that's what we've done. It doesn't look like God's family anymore. It looks like the enemy's family. All the things we're brought into. We're brought the enemy's ideas, the enemy's image, and we brought it into our families, and our families have suffered the consequences for it. People say all the time, you know, you've probably done this or been a part of it. Somebody will go to your house, and you'll go to someone's house, and you'll see a statue of Buddha or you'll see some ungodly statue, and boy, you say, man, you need to get rid of that thing. You know, what are you doing with that in your house? That's the thing that you see, but what you don't see is the ungodly behavior that we bring into our families. And then we try to live those standards, and then we go absolutely berserk when our children don't follow God. And we wonder why. Not following the standards. I'm getting them ready for you, Regina. They'll be primed and ready when you get them Saturday, all right? I'll tell you, they're going to be ready for a complete home remake or makeover. God intended to have a family, male and female. He created them. Man reshaped it into sexual perversion. People don't even know what they are. They're bisexual these days, homosexual. Oh, God forbid that we should say something bad about the homosexual agenda. I have nothing good to say about the homosexual agenda because its agenda is to capture your children. That's what they want to do. Books like I Have Two Daddies or Two Mommies, which is acceptable. I've heard, you can verify this because I heard it on the news, and I believe virtually nothing I hear on the news, but I understand that the great governor of the state of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, should have stayed to making movies if this is true, that he just signed some legislation that is going to take the textbooks in California and remove the ideas and concepts of moms and dads. Just, they don't want to have that kind of concept anymore. We just want to have parents. That's the agenda, folks. That's the agenda. And it absolutely breaks my heart when I run into people who are involved in a homosexual lifestyle and believe that there's no way out. There is a way out, but it's through Jesus Christ. Sexual perversion of every kind. We're taking the internet, which could be a very useful tool, and made it one of the greatest proliferations of pornography ever known to mankind. And people are hooked on pornography through the internet, spending countless thousands of dollars to satisfy unnatural desires. The only place God wants sexual desire is between a man and woman who are married. I need a bigger amen. God wanted a family that was blessed by Him. That's what He wanted. And we've reshaped it into a family that is self-blessed. What can I do for me? I want to bless myself. I want my own blessings instead of God's blessings. That's what we've done. God wanted a family that was fruitful, and we've taken the family and shaped it into a place that's barren, devoid of God. Now, you might say, oh, Pastor, you know, you're talking to the church folks here. What do you mean by all that? I'm telling you, the problem's in the church. Amen. It's not in the world. It's in the church. It's come in. It's pervade. It's like a cancer that has got into our families and our homes. We're doing things we shouldn't do. We're saying things we shouldn't say. We've adopted values we shouldn't have. And we wonder what's wrong. I'm telling you what's wrong. We have abandoned the very plan that God had ordained for us. That's the problem. We're going to do our best to do something to fix that problem. God wanted us to multiply. He said, be fruitful and multiply. We've reshaped it into multiplying the image of the evil one instead of the image of God. We have the evil one stamped all over us. God wanted the family that was would rule the earth in His name. And we've abdicated our position. We've just given it up. So we can't do anything. What can we do? Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot we can do. But you know the only thing I can really do anything about in this world? Does anybody know what it is? It's me. I'm the only one I can really do anything about. And so what we're going to do is learn what we can do for ourselves. How we can change ourselves, change our own behavior, change our own way we do things. Start incorporating God's rules into our life. Now it's never too late to begin anew. Why do you think we have a church called New Beginnings? Because I believe that with all of my heart. I'm not interested in the past. I can't do a thing about what's been done, but I can do everything about what lies ahead.
Amen.
People were, oh, well, if you knew where I came from. I don't care where you came from. And I know the psychologists and sociologists. I've got enough education. I've got a minor in psychology, and that's part of what warped my brain. It was warped before, but that really warped it. And I've studied what all the great philosophers had to say about behavior and human behavior. I've been through countless courses and all that stuff. It doesn't work, friends. The only thing that works is God's plan in your life. That'll work, and it works 100% of the time, all the time. God wanted us to have a family filled with joy and peace and prosperity and filled with Him, and we've reshaped it into selfishness, turbulence, deprivation, and devoid of Him. That's what we've done. Lord knows we need a home remake over. And it needs to be extreme. It is with some extreme changes. You know, some of you have been upset because we're changing the church. You ain't seen nothing, baby. Where do we start changing your family? Changing what goes on behind those closed doors. And we're going to cover everything. In the next several weeks, as best I can, we're going to do an extreme home edition, family edition makeover of your homes and make it look and live as much as possible like God wanted the original to operate. That's our goal. Now, here's the subjects I'm going to cover in the next weeks. First of all, we're going to discover why Father knows best. And I'm talking about Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father knows best, all right? We're going to go and discover who's the boss. What's God's divine plan for our family? Who's really ought to be in charge? Is there an order of things? Is there a divine order? Does God have one? I'm going to deal with that question and answer that for you. How love grows. How to get your love growing. Make it real and for each other and for your children and to keep it going. There's a way to do that. Learning about things of forgiveness and guilt and problem solving. We're going to discuss all those things and how love grows. And finally, a financial makeover. How you can finance a home makeover. Living beyond your means. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to show you how to live beyond your means. You've heard that all the time. Well, you can't live beyond your means. I'm going to show you how to live beyond your means. I don't want to live within my means. I've tried it. It doesn't work. I want to live behind His means. All right? So that's the plan. That's where we're going. All right? Now, because I have a 3-point sermon, I'm only going to probably do 1 point. That was just the introduction. That was just the introduction. But I want to start off because I did a lot of work to get these overheads for you. Father knows best. Don't you love that? Don't you know that? Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Some of you have no idea what that's about, but you will before it's all over. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son and daughters, all right, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. Pretty good stuff. Most of us realized around the age of 21 that our mothers and fathers were brilliant. Take you about that long to figure it out. I'm sorry, teenagers. You will figure that out. Around 21, there's a little button that flips in your brain and says, oh, God, my mother and dad are so smart. They are absolutely brilliant. How did they know that? That's because they lived to be past 21. Their parents didn't kill them. I just love that in the book of Ephesians, by the way, where it talks about husbands love your wives, wives submit to your husbands. And I love the advice for children. It says, children, obey your parents, and it might be well with you, and that you might live long on the earth. You know what? You don't obey them, you may not live long. You know, they may just decide one day it's all over and to take you out. I think that's just kind of interesting. I'm not advocating that you do that, although I know that there are times that you probably have felt that way. Dr. Spock, Dr. Phil, and Dr. Kenzie are void of God's wisdom. They didn't have it, and they have made a mess. And if you think you can listen to Dr. Spock and read his books about raising children, he almost destroyed, if maybe has not destroyed, a whole generation with his foolish concept of how to raise a family. And now we have the contemporary Dr. Phil. If you ever watch Dr. Phil, if you've got enough stomach to watch that, you know, you think you'll get some information from him. Whatever he says, just do the opposite. You'll probably be okay. And Dr. Kinsey, who absolutely single-handedly destroyed our concept of sexuality and what it ought to be, made it something you do in a test tube and examine it and write books about it and get rich and come up with a... I thought, by the way, I'm so naive, I thought everybody forgot about that guy. I thought it disappeared. When I was in college up at LSU, I decided, let me go see what this Kinsey report is about. It's the worst pornography I've ever seen. I couldn't even read it. I didn't even know the Lord, and I couldn't read it. Do you know that they're still in business? They have a clinic. If you have a sexual problem, you can go there, and they'll show you how to make it worse. Under the guise of helping you with your sexual problems. If you got a sexual problem, just read the book of Song of Solomon. That'll solve it. Show you what it really ought to be like. Listen to what the Scriptures have to say about it. And we're going to talk about that later on. This is just the introduction to these things. Father Knows Best. I love that program. Oh, what a perfect life they lived, huh? Robert Young was the lead character in that program. It was in the late 50s that it was on TV. It won 6 Emmy Awards in its lifespan. When they finally took it off the air, it went for another 3 years in prime time. That's how popular it was. I don't know why they took it off, but they did. And it became one of the most highly rerun programs ever to be on television. The only person who ever exceeded Robert Young and his family in popularity on TV was Lucille Ball. Gives you some kind of clue of what it was like. Father Knows Best. It's interesting that Father was the final authority. What he said was the way that they went as a family. And his wisdom was evident in everything. He always made the right decisions. Whatever he said, it was obvious to everyone that Dad knew the answer. And the kids would come to Dad when they had a problem. And Dad would say, well, if you do thus and so, it'll work out just fine. And Dad was always right. He never, ever missed it. And Mom, bless her heart, she respected Dad. And she saw to it that our kids respected Dad and his position in the family. Never contradicted him. Gave him little friendly suggestions along the way, but always very mild and meek and saying, Dad, I know you know the best thing for the family. And he did. He always got it right. And the children subjected themselves to their parents. If Dad said don't do it, they didn't do it. And they didn't sneak around behind their backs and do something else. They were the perfect children. They lived in a black and white world. It was either wrong or it was right. And there was no gray in between. Now, what we've done from the 50s to the new millennium, we've added color to the world. The only problem with our colors is we used watercolor, and it's rained, and the colors have run and smeared, and we can't see the images anymore. So, for today and next week, as I do this sermon about why Father Knows Best, we're going to a black and white world. And I want to talk about this one thing. Why does Father know best? Father knows that Jehovah knows best. Father knows that Jehovah knows best. You're going to love this next slide. Isn't that cute? A little girl sitting on her daddy's knees, reading to her. Now, it doesn't, where I got this off the internet, it doesn't say that that's a Bible, but it looks like a Bible, and I choose to believe it's a Bible. At least for the next couple of weeks, it will be a Bible. Then he read in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. You see, when you're a preacher, you have this liberty to do things like that. It's okay. The fear of the Lord, and that is the word that we get Jehovah from, all right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Anything in this world that is devoid of God is a playground for fools. It's a playground for fools. If you want to yank God out of it, that's exactly what you will get. Case in point. We've decided in our great wisdom as a nation that we don't want to have God anywhere in our governmental system. Anybody want to read the newspapers and see what we got going for us? You know, it's almost Larry Curley and Moe involved in things these days. I don't normally talk about the election things. In fact, I don't even know who won the election yesterday. I guess I'll get to read the newspaper later. But don't get upset with me. But everybody here has probably figured out by now that the three people running for president are not exactly who we would have chose. And really causing a lot of consternation among us as to who's the right one or who's the wrong one. Why? Because we never hear much about God other than we have our little perfunctory God bless America. You know, we usually end speeches that way, God bless America. Get over it, you know. You know, that's not doing us any good. It's just a word that's used. I want somebody who knows God and is willing to talk about God and willing to say, we will run this nation under the direction of the Holy Spirit, God, Jehovah God, and Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, no matter who doesn't like it. That's the guy I'd like to vote for. Man, woman, black, white, orange, green, short, fat, tall, doesn't make any difference to me. I'd vote for him. And we've had a couple of candidates like that, and I voted for him. Nobody else did, but Pat and I voted for him. Alan Keyes, he's my man. Y'all know who Alan Keyes is? You need to pray to the guy who runs for president again. I'd love to see him get elected. I'd vote for him for anything. He's a man who knows God. He's got good sense. He's an intellectual. He's smart, but he knows God. We have families devoid of God, and we see the results. Now, listen to me, folks. We're going to take the most important thing that's missing in your family, and we're going to bring it to the front head of the class, and that's your relationship with God. I was so, man, you, Greg, you don't know what it did for me this morning to see you and your wife and your children getting baptized. That's the way it ought to be. Families. Thank God for Greg, who, hard-headed as he is, persistent to bring that. Man, what a picture that was of him baptizing his dad, his stepmom, and his sisters. Isn't that a glorious picture? Man, that's family things. So good to see Mike get to baptize your little girl. Mike, that sets the standard, man. That's doing the right thing. That's bringing God to the forefront. That's making him number one in what you're doing. If God's not number one in what you're doing, it doesn't matter what two through infinity is. It's all wrong. You think you can get by without God and your family? You're kidding yourself. You're fooling yourself. It will not work. But all these amens, and I appreciate your amens, but you know what it means? You got to change. It'll change the way you do things. You got to do things differently. I love the story about Pat and I was when we first became believers. I married Pat because she's brilliant, she's beautiful, and I wanted her. I'd have paid for her. I'd have paid her daddy for her if he'd have said so, you know, but he didn't ask. I'd have paid. I'd have borrowed money, robbed a bank. I'd have done anything. But I got to tell you, Pat and I didn't know God. And we built our marriage based on what we thought was right. We were both well-educated. And a lot of things you'd look at and say, oh, well, this is going to be a wonderful couple. They're going to be successful all days of their life. We made a mess out of it. We were married, 5 years? And the thing was a wreck. It was falling apart. I was about to go through a divorce a second time because we built it all the wrong way. I wanted a smart, independent woman that could take care of herself and wouldn't bother me about anything. That's what I wanted, and that's what I got. She was. She was independent. She's better at taking care of herself than I am at taking care of myself. And then we got saved. Then we had this wreck of a marriage. And we began to study about what we could do to help ourselves. And we began to find out through good Christians who mentored us, we began to find out what God's Word said about families. And you know what? We had to change. And you know what? It didn't happen on Sunday morning. It didn't happen on Wednesday night. And it didn't happen in a week. It didn't happen in a month. It took us over 2 years to try to get the thing stabilized so we could live together. I remember just a classic example. We had a big fight one day. We were, you know, just brand new Christian. We had a big fight. Pat remembers what it was about, but I don't because she's got a better memory than I do. But it was pretty bad. And in my usual way of dealing with problems, I picked up my Bible and I stomped out of my house and I went outside in the part of the backyard and I opened my Bible because I was going to have a relationship with God. And I opened it up and it was in 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe, verse 7. And it says, "Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding manner that your prayers be not hindered." I mean, I just opened up to it. I didn't even know it was in there. And I read that. And I said to the Holy Spirit, I said, "Are you telling me that if I don't go inside and get right with Pat, that you're not going to hear me?" And I heard the Holy Spirit say, "I can't hear you." And I realized that if I wanted to be right with God, I needed to be right with my wife. And I went inside. And I told her, "Baby, I'm sorry. I've been a fool. I made a mistake. Would you forgive me for being so rotten and hard-headed and all that I am?" And she, in her graciousness, said, "Yes." But it was a milestone in my life because I discovered that my relationship with God is tied into my relationship with my family. Now, you won't hear that very much, but that's true. If you don't believe it, go look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. So, verse 7. It's important that we do that, building our marriage the way God wants it done. I know it's running late. Don't worry about it. I'm going to be okay. This is just too good. It's been boiling inside of me. I've been wanting to do it for a long time. I've been working on it, and I'm loaded and ready, and I'm firing as fast as I can.
You're going to be okay, but how about that?
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to be okay. Just don't get a divorce until I finish the series, all right? Don't kill your kids until I'm finished with them, all right? I tell you what, it's not in vogue. You know, we got these songs. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And the world doesn't need any more love. What the world needs is God. And what our families need is God. We don't need any more love. We got love ad infinitum coming out of our ears. What we need is God and God's plan for us. And I'm going to show you in the next couple of weeks how you can love somebody you don't even like. Maybe your wife or your kids or your husband. Or your parents. I'm going to show you how to do that. The nails and the construction material that hold our families together are God and His Word. That's what will make it work. We need fathers who pray. While I'm here, I wanted to say this. I was looking for the opportunity to say this, but now it's the time to say it. I don't want any of you in this room ever to be asked to pray and say, "Oh, well, I'm shy and I can't pray." Get over it and start praying.
Amen.
You don't need to be eloquent. All you need to be is a person who knows God.
Amen.
And if I call on you to pray, don't say, "Oh, well, I'll be embarrassed fast if you call on me to pray." I want you to start getting out of that and start praying.
Amen.
Now, what I really want to say, parentheses with that, men, you men, listen to me for a second. In this church, I want you to start stepping up to your spiritual responsibility in this church. I want you giving words of knowledge. I want you speaking in other tongues. I want you prophesying and not leaving the job up to the women of the church. These women have been doing that. They've been carrying a load. It's time for you men to get off your spiritual duff and do the right thing. Ladies, am I right? You know I'm right. These ladies want you to do it. And if you say, "Well, I don't know how to do that," start practicing. Get yourself a Bible in the mirror and prophesy to yourself. And learn how to do it. And come to church Sunday morning with a scripture and say, "Pastor, I believe I have a scripture." Just read a scripture if that's all you can do. or pray or say, you know, I was thinking about this and I think God wants me to say this. You don't need eloquence. All we need is willing spirits, and I want you men to step up. I'm not running a church for just women. I'm running for men who will lead. And it starts at home. You men need to be leaders at home. Look to Father God. Let Him lead you. You take your rightful position, leaders. You pray and you instruct and you follow God. And you parents, you see to it your kids know that you know God. And you start praying for those kids. And let them know that you're praying for them. Let them know that God's telling you things. Let them know if they do something wrong, God will tell you. Put fear in them if you need to. Because God will. He'll reveal. I can't tell you how many times my daughter would go off to do something she wasn't supposed to do, and she'd come home, we knew about it. And she'd say, how did you know that? People would call us up. You know, we saw just pleasant conversation. Oh, yeah, we saw your daughter down at the whatever. And we knew she wasn't supposed to be there. And she'd come home and say, what are you doing down there? And she'd say, how did you know that? We know God. God does. Some of you teenagers know I'm telling the truth, huh? You think you get away with stuff, you come home, and some kind of way your parents know about it. How'd they find that out? It's God. It's what God does when you have a house that's following God. Fathers, do you know God's Word? You don't want to be the smartest person in your house when it comes to this book? It's you guys, you men, you fathers. Your wives ought to be able to go to you and say, what is that preacher talking about Sunday morning? I know some of you to walk out here with all kinds of questions today. You know what? You guys ought to be able to answer those questions for your wives. That's your role to do that. We're going to learn about that. It's in the book of Ephesians. You can go ahead and read it if you don't believe me. Go look in Ephesians. It says, husbands to instruct your wives in love. Not beating them up and battering them, being there to help them.
That's right.
The wives, you need to respect your husbands. And you need to defer to them. That's part of it. According to God. Husbands, submit, love your wives as Christ loved the church and He gave Himself for her. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. The way you submit to the Lord. That's the way you submit to your husband. Children, obey your parents. In the Lord. He's doing things in the Lord. In the Lord. In the Lord. That's our common denominator. Jehovah knows best. Father knows best. And we're going to stop right here. And I'm going to pick this up next week. And we'll continue on this one subject in this sermon. Because I've got, I got more stuff than you can possibly imagine. I've got tons and tons and tons of information. But what I really have is tons and tons of things in my heart. And I've been wanting to do this for a long time. Now I want men and women both, I want you to put on your agenda next Saturday. I want you to come to this parenting class. If you got grandkids, come. If you're going to have kids, come. Regina has been giving a lot of information and about children and working with children. And we've been trying to schedule this for a long time. And I kept telling her to wait until the appropriate time. And since we're doing a family thing, I thought it'd be good. You bring a brown bag. A brown bag lunch. And come here. What time are we going to start, Regina? 9 o'clock, and we're going to be finished at 3. 9 to 3. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm memorizing faces. And I want you to bring somebody. You've got a neighbor, a brother, a sister, a friend that's got children. You bring them here, all right? And if you don't like what you hear Saturday, I'll give you your money back. You'll like it. Trust me, all right? This is good. This is very, very good. Let's all stand. By the way, I want to thank Greg and all those who filled in for me last week when I wasn't here. It's nice for me to travel out of town and know that things are mostly okay. I did see the film with a drama. The joy of it was watching Tommy do rap. Who knew that Mike Piazza was Jesus Christ? Who knew? I knew he had Jesus in him, but I didn't know he really could do that. I mean, it was awesome. The dancing was incredible. It was really, really neat. I didn't understand one word of it. I had to have somebody translate it for me because I didn't get the rap beat, you know. But it was really good. The puppet show was great. Good to see Allison and Lee doing that. I didn't even recognize Allison's voice. She did such a good job. I mean, she turned into a puppet. Really good. So we're going to be doing some more of those things. But I appreciate y'all being here. I'm going to make somebody nervous, really nervous right now. Who can I pick on here? I'll pick on somebody who won't mind too much. Tommy, since I picked you on you, why don't you close with some prayer this morning, all right? The rapper. If you need special prayer for anything, I'll be up here. I'll just be glad to pray for you. But today's birthday day. Thank you. I almost forgot. This is April. All the April babies. How many April babies? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 April babies. All right. Anybody born on April 1st? Thank goodness. Thank goodness. All right. Nobody. All right. We're going to sing happy birthday. Jim, are you going to lead us in a happy birthday?